The details of the capture and Saddam's condition tell a dramatic story of the deposed leader's changed fortunes, and NPR's Jennifer Ludden has more.
By the time the U.S. confirmed the capture early this morning, word had spread to U.S. government officials who rushed to their offices in the wee hours, to TV networks who went on the air live, and to the Iraqis who shouted from cars and shot guns in the air in celebration. In Baghdad, U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer addressed a room of military officials and foreign and Iraqi reporters.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, then rolled out a video. It showed a soldier checking for head lice and probing the mouth of a haggard man with deep lines in his face and a bushy, graying beard.
This is Saddam as he was being given his medical examination today.
Several Iraqi journalists jumped to their feet, jabbed the air, and shouted, "Down with Saddam." President Bush later told aides that reaction touched him greatly. Later, Major General Ray Odierno, commander of the 4th Infantry Division that carried out the raid, offered more details of the capture. Odierno said for months, military officials have been working Saddam's family and tribal ties, gleaning increasing information with each high-profile capture of a former Saddam aide.
Over the last 10 days or so, we brought in about 5 to 10 members of these families who then were able to give us even more information. And finally, we got the ultimate information from one of these individuals.
That information came yesterday, and within an hour and a half, according to Lieutenant General Sanchez, the U.S. launched Operation Red Dawn. Some 600 troops went to scout two sites in the village of Adwar, some 10 miles outside Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit. Their mission, he said, was to kill or capture the former leader. At first, they turned up nothing, but after troops caught two men trying to flee the area, they set up a cordon and intensified their search. Pointing to enlarged photographs, Major General Odierno described a walled compound with a mud hut and metal lean-to. In the center of it, he said soldiers lifted a rug, removed bricks and dirt, and found a styrofoam insert. Below that, he said, they found a so-called spider hole, 6 to 8 feet deep, just large enough for one person to lie in, with a ventilation tube for air. Saddam was in the hole.
It was a very narrow hole that was not very big at all, and very interesting that, in fact, you could just about see some of these palace complexes from there, and I think it's rather ironic that he was in a hole in the ground across the river from these great palaces that he's built, where he robbed all the money from the Iraqi people.
Odierno said Saddam had a pistol in his lap, but did not move to use it. In fact, he offered no resistance and admitted who he was. Lieutenant General Sanchez said Saddam later became talkative and cooperative, but at the time of his capture, officials described him as somewhat disoriented.
Tired. He was a tired man. And also, I think, a man resigned to his fate.
Military officials say they've not identified the two other men captured at the compound. They also confiscated two AK-47 guns, $750,000 in $100 bills, and a white and orange taxi. Major General Odierno said the village is near the Tigris River and there are boats nearby, either for Saddam to travel, he said, or perhaps for supporters to bring him supplies. Officials did not say whether anyone will be rewarded the $25 million bounty for Saddam's capture. For a man who regularly used doubles to evade opponents, there seemed little doubt this was Saddam Hussein. An Iraqi official said preliminary DNA testing had proved his identity, and U.S. officials said more testing was underway. Officials also shaved his scraggly beard and showed his likeness to previous photographs. Adnan Pachachi, a senior member of the U.S.-backed Iraqi Governing Council, expressed widespread relief at the capture. He spoke through an interpreter.
Thank God, the arrest of the tyrant and we hope has happened, and we hope that this will open the door to continue in our campaign to rebuild Iraq and to regain its sovereignty and freedom and to look forward.
U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer called on Iraq's various factions to now reconcile and on opposition elements to help build a new Iraq. But it's far from clear that Saddam will issue any call for a ceasefire. Several Iraqi governing council members visited him in captivity and asked about the assassinations and massacres that have come to light since his departure. They said he seemed unrepentant and defiant. It's unclear what the U.S. will do with Saddam Hussein next. Administrator Bremer says no decision's yet been made, but Iraqi officials just days ago created a sweeping special tribunal. They're already speaking of putting on public trial the man who ruled and abused them for more than three decades. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.